And for the sake of time, we're going to go ahead and go straight into the text. We thank God for this day on this May the 29th, I believe, 2022. If you'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses, and I want to start right around the 8th verse. And we understand from this text in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we know that David, when he slew Goliath, and we know that God's is bigger than any giant that you may face. We know that God can slay any giant that you may face. We understand that. Through this story about David, there was a young lad that was in the field taking care of his father's sheep, and his brothers was out in battle, was getting ready for battle. And David just happened to go down there to take his brothers. Now, I'm just bringing you up to speed, giving you a little synopsis of what we're talking about right now. But I really want to talk to you this morning about doing things on God's terms. That's what I really want to talk to you about this morning. Just bringing you up to speed, starting at verse 8, it says, "And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." I see a few things, and I'm going to finish with this verse 10. But I see a few things that's sticking out to me in these couple of verses. And we're going to read from 8 to 10. I've just read you 8 through 9. But I see something in the text that there was the Philistine, which was Goliath, was trying to set the terms of the battle.
Yeah.
I see that there's something wrong with that.
Yes, sir.
And we should never listen to the voice of the enemy trying to set terms. Well, that's why I want to talk about on God's terms. Because the Bible tells us that my sheep hear my voice and the voice of a stranger that they will not follow. But here it is in the midst of battle that here it is that this Philistine, this giant of a man, I could see why he could put fear in these other guys, the children of Israel. I could see how he could put fear in their hearts because of his physicality. You know, sometimes you can look at a person's physique and they got all these muscles and all that.
Yes,
but somebody, I don't know if you knew, but that don't mean nothing to me.
Right.
Because you got a muscle, you look like Hercules. Because I seen somebody look like they ain't never worked out in their life, and then here come Hercules, but next thing you know, he got hit with a double. I don't know about you.
Yes, sir.
So all them muscles and all that kind of stuff, that really, really don't really move me, you know what I mean? But the devil, what the devil does is he uses fear as a tactic,
right,
and he tries to use fear
that's
in
right.
order to put him on
that's
his turn.
Right.
But we're talking about God's terms.
Yeah.
And verse 10, I don't want to be with you long, but verse 10 says, "And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel." He's talking mess, right? He's talking noise. He's talking cash money. He's talking all this nonsense. Talking about, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that I might fight together." I'm like, my God. Can we skip down to 23 through 29?
Go ahead, Pastor.
I want to just break this down just a little bit because I'm going to give you seven things that are on God's terms. I want to give that to you, but I want to give justice to the text and let us read a couple of verses. We like verses over here, and we try to break them down where we can get a clear understanding because we read in the Bible that in all you're getting, get an understanding.
Yeah.
And in verse 23, we're going to read it through 29. He says, "And he asked, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of Philistines, and spake according to the same words and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. You see what I'm talking about? We just talked about this man with all these muscles and stuff like that, and talking about how big this man was. And when he came up on the scene, he was a champion because he was knocking people out. You know, he was taking, chopping people's heads off, and they heard about him in the lane. And here he was in their presence, and they was afraid of him when they saw him on sight. You know how somebody, y'all know we got that language now, that, you know, when I see on sight, when, you know, it's going down on sight when I see you and all that, when I pull up. Y'all ain't going to say nothing to me. Oh, y'all, I know y'all don't live in no box, but I know y'all done heard the term right there. But Goliath was telling them on sight, you know, I'm going to take care of some business with y'all because I heard y'all want to have a fight. I heard y'all want to squabble.
Exactly.
And he said, when I pull up, I'm going to take care of some business. But when he did pull up, the ones that was really thought, we thought they was really going to take care of some business, they took off running and was hiding behind bushes. You know, you got some people that just, they just all talk.
Yeah.
When it get ready to go down, there ain't going to be nowhere to be found. Be careful who you hang around with. You know, people always be fire starters and all that kind of stuff. But when it come down to really set some heat off, they ain't nowhere to be found. But here it is, this man pulled up. He pulled up, right? And then on verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. So this here it is, was all this incentive. And all this type of thing, if somebody beat up Goliath, this champion, then we got a lot of incentives. It seemed like it would encourage them to try to at least get in the ring with the man and try to box with him a little bit. You're going to get enriched. You're going to get the king's daughter. I heard she looked good, this, that, and the other. Y'all going to be hooked up and all that. But they lost all memory of that. They said, man, I don't care enough about no riches, and I don't care enough about the king's daughter.
That's right.
Because this man, I'm going to let this man hit me upside my head with this sword and cut my head off, because he's talking long, and I believe he'll bag it up, because I heard some of the things that he have already done. So here it is. It says, and David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him, and this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And in verse 28, it said, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, and I know his own brother. His own brother. His own brother, right? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down with thou, that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? So we got to understand, people of God, that one thing about the enemy is he is always trying to persuade God's people to operate under his terms. And in the beginning of the text, you see in verses 8 through 10 that he made a proposal, right? He gave them a suggestion of how we can fix all this and squash all this, and how y'all don't have to continue to go through the reproach and us being in y'all territory, that you just send out your best men or whatever, and y'all get up and go against Goliath, and whoever wins, then that's what who's going to want to be in charge of this whole territory. Mm-hmm. Under their terms, right?
Yes, sir.
But we got to understand, first and foremost, we must know who God is and how he operates.
That's it.
See, faith is what moves God. Then it's knowing who God is. We must have an intimate relationship with, and even through the conversation, through the verses that we read with 23 through 29, that David, he had some confidence about himself. He had to believe in God, and he was taken up for what he believed in. He said, who is this that defies the army of the living God? He was speaking God language. He was actually speaking faith language. And it didn't matter what he saw. They all was right. looking at what all they right. see. That's what I'm talking all about. Right. Y'all ain't gonna say all nothing right. to me. That's okay. That's right. He looked at this man, but it didn't move him none.
That's right.
Right? Because he don't walk. He walked by faith and not by sight. He already knew who God was.
That's right.
He already knew
that's
that
right.
when he was in the pasture, he said that when a lion came, y'all to read your Bible.
Yes,
he said when a lion came, right? That I took a sheep out of the lion's mouth or whatever. I slew a lion. I took a sheep out of a bird's mouth. I did all of these things because of the power of God.
Right.
He knew who God was. He knew who God is.
Yes, he did.
And everything that he done under the terms of God, which empowered him to be able to do the supernatural things that he was able to do. We can't do the things that we think we can do under our own power. Because under our own power, Sister Nina, we have limitations under our power. And what happens is we try to accomplish things under our own terms. Because the Bible says, lean not to our own understanding, but acknowledge God in all our ways. And he shall direct our paths. But what happens is we try to operate under our own terms when we should be operating under God's terms. Are you with me now? Okay. I want to clear that up so we can get down to the bottom of this, to the truth of the matter. So true identity, we must understand the cause, or in other words, the vision, then we must be committed.
Right.
Well, it's more than just coming to church.
Amen. Yes.
Let me. That's basically what I'm saying. It's more than just coming to church. You have to know who God is. How do I know who God is? I have to read about who God is. I have to talk to God. So in order for me to talk to God, I must wake up in the morning and say something to God. We'll say something to everything else but God.
Yes.
And the only time we'll say something to God is when we're in a situation.
Yes.
But you ought to talk to God every single day.
Yes.
Because it is God who has opened up the doors for you.
That's right.
Maybe you might think that you did it because you're operating under your own terms. But if you want some things to be open for you, if you want some chains to be broken, if you want some burdens to be lifted, you have to operate, Sister Brenda, under God's terms.
Yes, sir.
We can't be under our own terms because under our own terms, we're going to be disappointed. Let me clarify something. Does that mean that we're not going to go in through anything? Does that mean that we're not going to have no hardships and storms and all of that? It doesn't mean that. Because we shall go through that. Because he told us in John 16:33. He says that you're going to go through trials and tribulation. But he said, why don't you go and make sure you have your spiritual pom-poms handy. That he said, but be of good cheer. That's where I got that from. He said, be of good cheer because I have, okay, I know some of the men, y'all too macho for that. Man, he put on no spiritual pom-poms. Yeah, spiritual pom-pom. And say, God, whatever I'm going through, God, I'm going to still give you praise. I'm going to still come to the prep rally,
God.
I'm going to still lift up your name, God, because I know that I'm on the living team. I'm on the winning team. And though it looks bad, yet I'm going to still praise you. I'm going to still give you glory. Huh? Spiritual pom-poms. So, in order to defeat the enemy, we must be on one accord. So many believers get weary because of what they see. Goliath pulled up. He told him he was going to pull up. He pulled up. When he pulled up, he had made a suggestion to go up under their terms. And when he pulled up, they took off. They saw him. See, we don't operate on what we see.
That's right, Pastor.
We don't operate on what we see.
That's right.
Because if you operate on what you see, you're going to get messed up. You're going to get set back.
Yes,
you're going to get hindered.
Yes.
But if you operate by faith, see, faith is what moves God.
Right.
That's what I like about the blind man. What was his name? I think it started with A. I can't think his name. But the word showed up. This is good stuff to me. We're not going to be able to finish. The word showed up. In other words, Jesus was in the town.
Yeah.
The word showed up. Jesus is the word. The word showed up. And he heard about the word, because faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He heard about the word. He heard about Jesus. Jesus, the word, came into the city. And when the word was near to him, it was nigh unto his mouth. He said, man, who? I heard that the word, and the word got closer. And when the word got closer, he started using his faith, because he was blind and he couldn't even see Jesus, but he heard about it. And so he started hollering out of Jesus. Y'all ain't going to say nothing to me. And Jesus started hollering out Jesus' name, and they tried to make him shut up. See, that's what the enemy tried to make you do. He wants you to operate on his terms and not on God's terms. But the closer the word got, the closer Jesus got. He said, Jesus! They told him to shut up, sister.
Be quiet.
And the closer the word got, the louder he got. The closer the word got, the closer Jesus got. He was nigh in his mouth. Y'all read your Bible. The closer he got, the louder he got. Because he was using his faith. He couldn't see it, but he believed that the word was right there. And he started hollering at the word, and it got Jesus' attention. Faith made him slow down and stop. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. He said, virtue came out of me. See, what virtue is righteousness. And the woman had a condition, and when her faith touched him, it got his attention. And the disciples, Jesus, all these people, they throng you. You all up in this paparazzi. And that's the reason why somebody touched you. He said, no, it's a different. Virtue came out of me.
Amen.
See, what was wrong was made right because of her faith. Y'all ain't going to say nothing. Amen. See, so you looking at what's wrong now.
All right.
You look at what's right. Wrong now.
Yeah.
But your faith can make something that's wrong. And now turn it around and make it right.
Right.
Oh, that should have helped somebody
right
there.
Right.
So, we got to understand that the devil is a liar.
All the time.
And he was a liar from the beginning.
All the time.
And the truth is not in him. We walk by faith and not by sight. God is not like man. If God said it. See, the problem is we want to rush God. We make our supplication and request made known to God. And we think God is supposed to just jump at out every baby call. It's not that God didn't hear you, but did you believe in the request that you made? Oh, that ought to help somebody right there. Because we got the formalities down.
Yes, sir.
We know how to lift up holy hands. We know how to play the instrument. We know how to show out to see who can sing the best. We know how to see who can preach the best. We already know who got the nicest threads on and all that. Do they say that anymore? Anyway. But God is not like a man. If he said it, surely it would come to pass. All we have to do is wait. Somebody say in due season.
In due season.
See, seasons come and seasons go. Seasons change and seasons grow.
Right?
You got to understand that. That let God do what he do.
Yes, sir.
Let God do what he do and quit trying to operate under your own terms to try to push God into granting your request. But you got to have faith and believe in the request that you have already submitted. We must know how to use our weapon. Can I read a little bit more of it? Let's start around 32. I want to bring this on in. I don't want to keep you too much long. So, in 32, starting at 32, and I might just read on down, about 20 verses. I don't know. We like verses over here. We like scripture. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant, here it is right here. I like this about David, because David gave him a history about his God.
Yes, sir.
He told him about the God that he served. And the reason why he knew the God that he served, because the God revealed himself unto him and gave him the ability to do what he does. Because I don't know about you, right? If a lion was in my proximity, oh, that's a good word. If a lion was in my proximity, I'm pretty sure I'd go back to when I thought I was the fastest in the neighborhood, and I'd probably put skid marks with these sandal shoes on. Oh, some of y'all might be tough like that. If a bear that stands as tall as Goliath come in this building right here, I might try to kick out an exit so we can all get out of here, because I don't want to get mauled by no big bear. But this man had to have a close relationship with God and to really know who God is and who God was, right? He said, let me tell you something. Because he was listening to what Saul was saying, and Saul was a mentor to him, and Saul was his king. And Saul said, man, you can't beat this dude. He said, man, but I tell you what, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them, seeing he have defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the power of the lion and out of the power of the bear, he would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. He really didn't believe. He listened to the story, but he like, man, if you believe your God going to do all that, then go and take care of your business. And Saul said unto David, go, the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword with the armor, and he assayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him, and he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling with it in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. We must know how to use our weapon.
Amen.
It's essential. The word of God is a weapon, but if you don't never study the operating manual, you'll never be effective. Saul tried to put something on him.
Yes, he did.
He said, man, I can't use that. I haven't even proved that. I'm not familiar with this right here. But what I'm familiar with what I know. And that's the reason why he pulled up 5 smooth rocks.
Yes, he did.
And I start thinking about, okay, why did he use 5 smooth rocks, but he only just needed one rock?
That's it.
Why did he need 5 stones when he just needed one rock? Why did he need 5 stones, but he just needed one rock?
He needed one rock.
Oh, y'all still ain't getting
one rock. Jesus.
Y'all got it? He only needed one rock. He only needed one rock of my salvation. The solid foundation, the rock that it was built on.
Amen.
But I heard that this Philistine had some additional brothers that David was in preparation, that in case these other brothers came, that he had some other brothers that might come and try to jump into the battle, that I'm going to have a rock for each and every one of them. Right. But it's so significant for the simple fact that what a shepherd did was he had 5 stones or whatever many rocks in his scrip when he carried around. So when the shepherds, I've shared this with you before, that he used these rocks to be able to startle the sheep when they got out of line. Right? Because sometimes sheep are warned off.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let me say that again. Sometimes sheep are warned off.
Yeah.
Let me go back over here. Sometimes the sheep are warned off. And then you have to call them. You know, I'm like, you call me, you're not. Pastor didn't even call. Well, you didn't, I mean, what you want me to do?
You know how some of the sheep be doing. He ain't even call. He ain't even check on me. He don't care nothing about me. Why you didn't come to church? I'm not going to be calling you every time you miss church. I don't know what you had going on. I'm not going to be calling you. Hey, why you didn't go come to church? But sometimes the sheep wanted off. Let me say it one more time.
Okay.
Sometimes the sheep went off, and what happens is, I guess the phone call is the rock, because what they'll do is they'll start him. What he did was reach into his patch, and he'll throw the rock to make him get back in line. And they were so precise and meticulous how they threw the rock, and he'll throw it, and it'll start the sheep, and the sheep, and they'll get back in line. Here I am trying to lead you to green pastures, and you trying to go over here. And you done got distracted trying to wander out, so let me go over and chunk this rock over here by you. So we got to learn how to use our weapons.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
The devil comes to try to put fury in all of us. That is his number one tactic, the vice, fiery dart he uses to keep us in bondage. I'm scared to go back to school. I'm scared to speak up on the word. I'm scared to pursue inventions. I'm scared I won't get the job, and the list goes on. If you search throughout the Bible, 500 plus times, God is telling us, fear not.
Fear not.
Why would he tell us
that? My God, that's good.
Over 500 times in the Bible, he's telling you to fear not? Why? Because he got our backs. And David knew that when he faced the bear, when he faced the lion, and any other thing that he came against. We have to learn how to be courageous and bold, not firm. In other words, quit letting the devil talk to you any kind of way. We're quick to go out on somebody at work, at school, and tracker, but what you don't realize is that the devil is using that person. So it's not the person, it's the devil.
Yes,
don't be
ignorant
to the devil's devices.
That's right.
See, we take care of things on our own terms. But if you want to take care of some things, use God's turn. Because he said, this is God's turn. Your terms is, I'm going to give them the middle finger. I'm going to cuss them out. I'm going to tell them. Not none of y'all.
Yeah.
Not none of y'all. Y'all ain't did. Y'all perfect and y'all ain't never did. Not y'all. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about the other mother folk. Middle finger, cussing folk out, ignoring folk, won't speak to folk no more, and gossiping about folk. Not none of y'all. Not y'all. I'm not talking about y'all. Y'all don't leave here and say, Pastor was talking about us. Nah, it seemed like he was shooting a slug at me and all that. All these slugs we done shot, man, people ought to be full of holes, all these slugs we done shot. Subliminal slugs that we should be putting them on Facebook and all that. You know who you're talking about, but it's subliminal, right?
Yeah.
And the person that you're using a subliminal message to, they know you're talking about, but you never use their name, but they just know you're talking about them. Not y'all, though. But God's terms is, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
That's right.
See, those are God's terms. And here it is that David, can we finish reading?
Yes.
Let's take this on to the house. And the Philistine came and drew near unto David, we're in verse 41. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the earth and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a sword, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the earth and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all the disassembly shall know that the Lord saved not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.
Trash.
I like that. The enemy attacking your family, attacking your kids, attacking your finances, attacking your health. And you sitting up here letting him talk all this mess to you.
God.
But David said, you're not going to talk to me like that, because
yes,
I serve a God that can do above, he can do exceeding above all you can even ask or even think, that God can bring you out.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not going to sit here and let you talk to me about my son, telling me my son ain't worth, and my son will be this, and my son will be that. But I'm going to talk noise back to you and say that my son shall be who you call him to be. You got to use God's terms.
Yes.
You don't be looking at what you see, and he talking this noise, and what he's saying, it look like that's what it is. But when you start thinking about how powerful this God, who would want to serve a God
like
that?
He's a good God. Yes. Jesus.
That could change your life around.
Just like that.
That you don't look like what you've been through.
All right.
That God. Yeah. That'll open up doors and give you the job that you desire.
That God
right there. Yeah. That God that'll touch your body and heal your body. That God right there.
Yeah.
That God that'll put you in your right mind.
That
it was the people in the Bible that they wasn't in their right mind. But when they had an encounter with Jesus, when the word showed up and it changed their life, that the entrance of that word had given life. And they came out of the place.
That God.
In their right mind. That God right there.
Thank you.
That God that he met the man at the gate of beautiful. That God right there that he didn't have to panhandle no more. Because that's what he was doing. He was a panhandler. And he was hanging around folk that didn't have his best interest at heart because they was getting a cut off the money that he was panhandling at the gate of beautiful. But somebody showed up with him one day and said, man, we ain't got no money for you, man. But that's what we have. We give it up to you. Because what we're going to give you, it's going to change your condition and put you in position. But in order for that to happen, you got to do it by God's terms. Don't be ignorant to the enemy's devices, people of God. Please, don't let the devil tell you what he's going to do to you. But tell the devil what your God said about him and the power that you have through your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So be confident in battle and use the power of God has given us. In other words, put the dent in what the devil is trying to do to us. That's what he did with the rock. He threw that rock so hard. And so what happens is, I talked about this before on a message, like when I talked about a pocket full of stones, and what happens was that what the water does, and man, I like the water, that'll spring forth out of your belly. That when rocks sit in the water, see what happens is they be rough around the edges. But when the water in the stream continues to run over it, it starts smoothing them out. That's why he selected. So when he threw the rock, from the aerodynamics behind the release of the rock, it'll make it just glide. That's why you can throw those rocks. Those ones that got them ridges and those craters in, they're not going to skip across the water. But those smooth rocks that stayed in the water and let the water or let the word do the work, it'll smooth it out. Well, you was rough on some edges. Well, y'all ain't gonna say it. He threw that rock and that thing hit all that air and that force behind it and it put a dent in his head. Dropped it. You know when you get hit with a good blow, you get dropped. When they hit you on that butt. Huh, Anthony? They think you didn't have nothing because you had all them muscles. And then you ran into somebody like the pastor. Oh, y'all. Give yourself a thing. Let's get up out of here. We're going to go over time today. Let me give you seven things right quick. Number one, know who God is. That's number one. Know who God is. Number two, understand the cause and be committed. Understand the cause and be committed.
Can you say number two again?
Number two is understand the cause and be committed. Number three, trust and have faith that God will deliver.
Wait on you, Daddy.
Trust and believe that God will deliver. Number four, know how to use your weapon. Man, pick up that weapon and look at it. Search it out. Find out what it do. Right?
Know how to use your weapon. Number four. How can you use something if you don't know how it works?
That's good.
Right? You trying to make it work under your own time. See, I'm not talking about none of y'all. Y'all put this stuff together. Y'all be going to go buy these stuff that come out the box. And they got all these screws and all that. And y'all done left four screws out of there. And then y'all wonder why that thing be robbing about to fall apart. It takes all the screws. And they got them all. It's the L1. And they got the L1. And they got, y'all ain't gonna say nothing. We got y'all. It takes all of it. It's in the manual. It comes with the instructions. Learn how to use your weapon, people of God. Quit leaving out the parts of the manual and making it fit for your own satisfaction. And that's what happens is that we got a weapon that is so powerful that we could use,
yes,
and we could speak it against the devil. And the devil was trying to come,
yes,
to Jesus.
Sir.
Oh, man, we're going to go over. Let me give you number five. Number five, fear not. It's written in the Bible 500 times. That's a lot of encouragement. That's a lot of reminding. Because he know what the devil uses. Number six, talk back to the devil with the word. Talk back to the devil with the word. Don't use your own terms. Not those words. Use the word. The word is a weapon. Let the word do the work. Talk back to the devil with the word. Number seven, be confident in battle. Be confident in battle. You're going to get hit sometime.
Oh, yes.
But if he catch you with a solid one, see, y'all got to learn how to bob and weed that thing.
Yes.
But sometimes he might catch you solid, right? And kind of buckle you a little bit. But you got to learn how to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Have you ever seen the boxers when they get hit solid sometimes, Brother Steve? Oh, I'm like, I don't want to hurt you, Steve. But, yeah. But when you get hit solid, right, they hold on to the box, and the box be trying, they be trying to get their composure back. Because they've been this. I've been done like that before. Man, come down the butt, I was like, oh, man. What he let me do that for? Boy, I was shining then. Boy, he let me shine on then, boy. He shouldn't let me get no rest. I hope this was a blessing to you on today. May God bless you. May God. Amen. Let us all stand all over the building.